gum. I'm Joe at Lemon Avenue. This is SpielPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from lovely Dallas, Texas. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of December, 2016. On this date in 1894, the Affaire Petit Fous begins in France, where Army officer Alfred Dreyfus is wrongly convicted of treason. He's been framed for handing over secrets to the German government. Eventually, at long last, got pardoned. The Dreyfus Affair divided France into two camps, the anti-Semitic, pious Catholic conservative on the one side, anti-clerical radical on the other. In 1978, Chinese Communist Party, led by Deng Xiaoping, agrees on a policy to shift away from Maoism and instead created a market-oriented economy. 1989, President of Romania, Nicolae Ceaușescu, is overthrown after days of rioting. He's replaced by opposition leader Ilian Iliescu. Ceaușescu and his wife Elena are executed by firing squad 3 days later after being speedily convicted by an informal court. 1990, Lech Walesa is elected president of Poland. 2010, U.S. President Barack Obama signs the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the U.S. military alleged policy banning homosexuals from serving openly in the military. Birthdays today are Roman Emperor Diocletian, Diane Sawyer, and Maurice and Robin Gibb of the Bee Gees. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you want to comment or ask a question, go to spielpod.com or send us an email at spielpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. Russian ambassador to Turkey, Andrei Karlov, was shot and killed in Ankara on Monday. He was giving a speech at an art gallery when he was shot multiple times by an off-duty police officer named Mevlut Mert Altintas, who, according to several news reports, shouted, "Don't forget Aleppo," and "This is for Aleppo," as he opened fire. The assassin was shot and killed by police soon after. The Jais al-Fatah group, a broad-based terrorist organization that includes Jabhat Fatah al-Sham, which is the recently rebranded Syrian arm of al-Qaeda, claimed responsibility for the killing, although it's not clear yet how the assassin was affiliated with them. Russia and Turkey are supporting opposite sides of the Syrian civil war, with Russia backing the government, Turkey supporting the anti-government militias, particularly the religious ones. Ties between the two countries have been complicated since Turkish air defenses shot down a Russian plane in 2015, but Turkish government has been working hard to get back into Moscow's good graces. It looks like the incident is actually pulling them closer together. Putin and Erdogan have both stated the killer's motive was to drive a wedge between the two countries, and they won't let that happen. Erdogan and his lackeys are predictably blaming the incident on the U.S.-based cleric and Erdogan enemy Fethullah Gulen, while some Russian officials have already accused Western politicians and media of creating a climate of hatred towards Russia that helped motivate the killings. Some Russian security analysts have even accused the CIA of being behind the assassination. Following up on visa liberalization, CORAPOR, the committee within the European Council that represents the interests of the member states, agreed to grant visa liberalization to Georgia. That brings everyone a step closer to implementation of visa-free. The only step left is for the proposal to be approved by a plenary vote of the entire EU Parliament. It's already approved by the Parliamentary Committee in charge of immigration and visa issues. The voting probably will take place in January. Visa liberalization will be implemented simultaneous with visa-free suspension mechanisms. Ukraine is also close to getting visa liberalization, but it's a little bit behind Georgia in the process. The EU Council, Parliament, and Commission still need to come to an agreement on the suspension mechanism for Ukraine. Following up on the lari, the central bank sold $40 million in a ridiculous effort to prop up the faltering lari, which had fallen to 2.74 per dollar by Tuesday afternoon. Since the start of the year, the bank has sold $280 million in a number of currency interventions. Still, foreign currency reserves stand at $2.779 billion, an increase of $300 million from a year ago. Central bank spoke to the media about the currency depreciation, blaming it on a number of international factors, such as the strengthening dollar and weakening Turkish lira. They also said that given all of these factors, the lari is actually stronger than the bank had predicted. They also said that they plan to raise interest rates in the future, which are currently at 6.5%. The national movement has criticized the government and their leader in parliament, Dato Bakradze, saying the lari is falling because of a lack of action on the part of the new government. He's summoning the finance and economy minister, Dmitry Kumsishvili and Georgi Gakharia, to a meeting of the National Movement's parliamentary minority group to discuss the issue. Tbilisi City Court sentenced two former high-ranking police officials from the National Movement to sentences of 9 and 12 years in prison, respectively. The two officials are David Akhalaya, former head of the Constitutional Security Department, or CSD, and the Interior Ministry, and Georgi Dumbadze, Dhebuladze, who served in the same department. The two were convicted of murdering three people and fabricating evidence against others back in 2006. The two, along with the other officers, shot three men dead at a bus station in Navluhi that year, allegedly because they had been plotting to create a prison riot. The former employee of the CSD, Kudi, testified that he had been ordered by Akhalaya to find two witnesses willing to give false testimony, that the three men had violently resisted arrest before being gunned down. Akhalaya was sentenced to 12 years in absentia, as he's on the run and wanted by Interpol. He's also on trial in a separate case for his role in the violent crackdown against protesters on the 26th of May, 2011. Dhebuladze was extradited from the Netherlands earlier this year. He got 9 years. Protesters in Abkhazia gave up their attempt to get President Raul Khajimba to step down. The protesters were members of a group called the Bloc of Opposition Forces and are opposed to Khajimba and his allies, who they accuse of economic mismanagement, incompetence, corruption, crime, and using intimidation against political opponents. Their leader, Aslan Bjania, came in second in presidential elections 2014. The opposition made a declaration on the 30th of September where they gave Khajimba until the 15th of December to step down. Earlier this year, Khajimba won a recall referendum. However, he didn't give the opposition much time to campaign against him, a week, basically. So the value of winning is questionable. Grassroots supporters of the political opposition have been protesting outside the government throughout the weekend, demanding Khajimba step down, which he's refused to do. However, he offered a number of concessions, including constitutional reforms that would weaken his own executive power. Parliamentary elections will be held in March. The opposition is gearing up to take a large number of seats and push for changing Abkhazia's system from a presidential to a parliamentary one. European Court for Human Rights, or ECHR, ordered Russia to pay 30,000 euro in compensation to a Georgian woman who was illegally deported in 2006. The woman, Lia Shioshvili, was pregnant at the time and gave birth to a stillborn baby after she arrived in Georgia. The ECHR ruled that Russia seriously violated the principles of the European Convention of Human Rights by treating her in an inhumane and degrading way, defying her freedom of movement, and by applying collective expulsion against her. The authorities also refused to accommodate her needs despite her vulnerable situation. In addition to being pregnant, Shioshvili was with four small children. In travel to and from Georgia, the Prime Minister met with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and the Prime Minister Binali Yildirim in Istanbul on the 20th of December. He was joined by Economy Minister Giorgi Gahari, a few members of his foreign policy team, including advisor Tedo Japaridze. During a joint press conference, Yildirim announced that the Baku-Tbilisi-Kars railway will be finished during the first quarter of 2017. The project was originally supposed to be completed a couple of years ago, but has been delayed several times. Interior Minister Giorgi Mkhebreshvili met with Armenian President Serzh Sarkisyan in Yerevan on the 16th of December. They signed a memorandum on cooperation relating to law enforcement, especially organized crime. Defense Minister Levan Izorya went to Baku last week to meet with his Azerbaijani counterpart, Colonel General Zakir Hasanov. They signed a bilateral agreement to hold joint training exercises in 2017. Belarusian Foreign Minister Vladimir Makey was in Georgia this week to meet with the president, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze, Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze, and Patriarch Ilya II. The visit coincided with the opening of the Belarusian embassy in Georgia, finally. Georgia's had an embassy in Minsk since 2007. Hannes Hans, the chairman of the Estonia's Parliamentary Defense Committee, was in Tbilisi this week to meet with Defense Minister Levan Isoria. They discussed upgrading Georgia's military recruitment standards. A Jatta Supreme Council approved a new cabinet with 14 out of 21 votes. The opposition, which includes lawmakers from the National Movement, Patriots Alliance, Burjanadze Democrats, refused to vote. They're accusing the four-member cabinet, which was presented by Zurab Pattaradze, the head of the Ajaran government, of being chosen not because of their competence, but because of their loyalty to Otsneba. Cabinet members are Zal Mikeladze, who will be health and social minister, Inga Shamelishvili, who will be education minister, Lasha Komachidze, agriculture minister, and Ramaz Bolkvadze, finance and economy minister. The latter two figures are holdovers from the previous cabinet. Georgia became a part of Europol, an EU policing organization that helps its member states track down criminals and criminal networks that operate across borders. Interior Minister Mgabrishvili signed a memorandum on strategic cooperation with the organization this week. Georgia will have representatives at the Europol headquarters in Brussels. The Trump Organization revoked a license deal for a Trump Tower hotel project in Batumi developed by the Silk Road Group, as well as for a similar project in Azerbaijan. They're pretending it's part of an effort to clear up any potential conflicts of interest before President-elect Donald Trump moves into the White House in January. Actually, it's because Trump was just paid millions by Misha to show up and allow a building to be named for him. He has no stake in the project and doesn't really care about it, but will allow them to pretend that they have some in some ways divested from something. Norwegian government is putting up 1.1 million euro to promote human rights in Georgia. Specifically, the money will go towards implementing the Council of Europe's 2016 to 2019 action plan for Georgia, which focuses on promoting human rights, the rule of law, and confidence building in conflict areas. Norway has already provided 700,000 euro for the same initiative. Georgia signed three new agreements with the United States for Agency for International Development, USAID, worth $22.5 million. The money will go towards inclusive and sustainable growth, democratic development, and public health. Tbilisi City Court ordered pretrial detention of people charged with embezzling more than $25 million from microfinance customers. The two are Tamas Lobjanidze and Merab Peradze of a company Limited Georgia. Thousands of customers had their deposits stolen by the company, which had promised interest rates 3 to 4 times higher than what's offered by banks. Earlier this year, the National Bank warned people to stay away from financial institutions offering interest rates that seemed too good to be true. A journalist with Iberia TV named Georgi Gasviani accused a policeman of physically assaulting him after his car slid on an icy road near Borjomi. Three people got out of a car coming from the opposite direction, including the police officer, who attacked and beat him. Gasviani says the officer was clearly drunk and threatened him at gunpoint when he revealed that he was a journalist. The policeman has been suspended while the incident is being investigated. A passenger train traveling from Kutaisi to Batumi caught fire over the weekend. The carriage was severely damaged. Fortunately, the passengers were evacuated immediately, so no one was hurt. Police are investigating for arson. One person was killed by an avalanche in Svaneti this week. According to Interpress News, the man was a local resident. Levan Vasadze, chairman of the Demographic Development Fund, an anti-LGBT group that's trying to encourage Georgian families to have more kids, gave an interview with Liberali where he said that NGO and media outlets should be controlled by the state. Vasadze has often accused these groups of promoting a gay agenda and other values that are alleged to threaten Georgia's traditions. Kakheti is getting a big infrastructure upgrade with hundreds of kilometers of new road to be built under the 4th East-West Highway Project. The roads department is currently seeking financial proposals from companies interested in implementing the project, which will be co-financed by the World Bank. German government is providing 1.2 million euro grant to Georgia to upgrade the electricity infrastructure in Guria, the Georgian state electro system. We'll use the money to improve existing infrastructure and commission feasibility studies for new infrastructure development. TBC Bank signed two loan agreements worth $55 million total from the Netherlands Development Finance Corporation. $25 million will go to TBC so that it can expand its position in the market for financing small and medium enterprises. And $30 million will go to financing its subsidiary, Bank Republic. Qatar Airways launched four weekly direct flights between Tbilisi and Doha, which will supplement the 7 flights it's already running via layover in Baku. Takes about 3 hours direct to get from Tbilisi to Doha's Hamad International Airport. British Georgian singer Katie Melua was given the Medal of Honor by President Mark Velashvili for her role in promoting Georgian culture on the international stage. Film director George Ovashvili received the Order of Arts and Letters from the French government this week. The order is France's highest civilian award. It went to his contribution to the country's art scene. Ovashvili has collaborated with a number of French film studios over the year, including on his acclaimed 2014 film, Corn Island. The London-based magazine The Business of Fashion named designer Ademna Gvasalia Person of the Year, saying he had the biggest impact on global fashion industry in 2016. He's the creative director of the Paris-based fashion label Balenciaga. Parliament approved proposed amendments to the 2016 state budget, which reflect spending increases and lower than projected GDP growth, both of which caused the budget deficit to increase. Defense spending was 80.4 million lari higher than originally planned. The energy ministry got a big bump as well. Tax revenues declined by about 109 million lari. Amendments were approved with 85 votes for, 6 votes against. The government, spurred on by members of parliament, have been holding consultations with the United Nations on delivering humanitarian aid to people in Syria. On the 17th of December, the Republican Party, which isn't represented in parliament, called on the government to develop a plan for sending humanitarian aid. On the 19th, the National Movement submitted a draft statement on the humanitarian crisis in Aleppo and requested that it be put on the parliamentary agenda. That was rejected by Otsneba, apparently for procedural reasons. Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze offered to postpone discussion of the issue until next week. Vice Speaker and Patriot Alliance leader Irma Yanashvili criticized the National Movement for raising the issue in the first place, saying it will drag Georgia into a provocation. The draft statement submitted by the National Movement condemns Russia for worsening the humanitarian political crisis in Syria and for playing a destructive role in the UN Security Council. Parliamentary Defense and Security Committee approved amendments to the law on occupied territories that, if passed in a parliamentary plenary session, would ease the penalty for people who pass in and out of occupied territories without getting prior approval from the government of Tbilisi, or who enter the occupied territories through Russia and then cross into Georgia. This would be an extremely useful thing to pass and would get more people in and out of Abkhazia. Currently, doing either of those things carries a 2 to 4 year prison term. If the amendments are passed, that would become a 400 lari fine. Council of Europe has criticized Georgia for its harsh policy on entering the occupied territories. The meme this week is a dash cam video of someone driving down a snow-covered road near the village of Svikchademaya, not far from Tbilisi. The only color you can see is white. Institute for War and Peace reporting has a piece about the Nguri hydroelectric station, which is on the administrative boundary line between Georgia and Abkhazia and provides power to both sides. The plant needs repair, but because it's a joint Georgian-Abkhaz project, it's difficult to agree on how to do that, who should pay for it. Plus, shutting it down to make repairs to create a short-term energy would create a short-term energy shortage in the area. Inga Snip writes for Eurasianet about the White Noise Movement, a group of people advocating decriminalization of recreational drugs. They organized the big protest on Rustavelli last week. They rely on action rather than words, something that they call artistic activism. Gheorghe Lomsadze writes for Eurasianet, this time about the small town in Akhmeta in Kakheti, which is making plans to name its metro stations, airports, seaports, and ropeway. What's the catch? The town of 7,000 people has none of those things. Town council chairperson Gela Djugashvili told a local television station the whole thing is a misunderstanding, but it's pretty funny. The ISET blog looks at the economic lessons learned from Chile, a country that underwent so-called shock therapy to marketize its economy under the military dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet. The reforms were quite difficult in the short term, but bore serious fruit in 10 to 20 years, something that Georgia's reformers also hope for. The lesson learned: Chile stuck to the pro-market path even after Pinochet gave up power, and Otsneba should continue the national movement's economic policies. Two, Mises libertarians and economists love this Pinochet stuff. Smithsonian Magazine has a piece on Georgia, the Eden of the Caucasus, as they call it. The article is packed with historical insights and interesting anecdotes. It finishes with some recommendations on where to eat and stay when visiting Georgia, mostly devoted to Kazbegi and surrounding areas. Roads and Kingdoms takes us to Sfaneti, Georgia's most remote and exotic region. The piece is well-written but plays on a few too many stereotypes and cliches, some nutty claims in there. Caucasus Research Resource Center, better known as CRC, publishes a statistical analysis of the validity of the parliamentary election results. They test for election fraud, finding that the vote tally was accurate but still had some of the same problems from 2012. They recommended the Central Election Commission digitize the voting process and increase transparency of the vote counting process, among other things. ExpertPolls.ge, which is a project of the Georgian Institute of Politics, has an infographic breaking down the new parliament. It's got information on parliamentary speakers, a chairperson of each committee, and parliamentary factions and their members. Also for the Georgian Institute of Politics, Tabilpod.com's own Joe Larson interviews Professor Stephen Jones of Mount Holyoke, who's an extremely accomplished expert on Georgia, speaks very good Georgian too, always has lots of cool things to say. They discuss the parliamentary elections, Trump, Brexit, the lessons that Georgia can learn from the years right after the First World War. Stephen Jones' books on the Georgian Social Democrats is amazing. It's probably the single book most worth reading about Georgian history available in English. Democracy and Freedom Watch investigates Bitfury, a Bitcoin company that was first started operating in Georgia in 2014. They mine and store Bitcoin on servers located in Gori and Tbilisi. They get a number of tax benefits from the government, mostly because they got free industrial zone status for their land in Guldani, leaving alone the electricity situation, which is not well investigated, but is extremely interesting. New York Times has a good explainer on the possible fallout of the assassination of the Russian ambassador to Turkey, Andrei Karlov. Despite many people speculating that the incident will drive a wedge between the two countries, they're blaming it on third parties, as always. All that stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is $41 million, the amount of money the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, provided to Georgia in 2015. That's more than one-third of what it received from sources worldwide. Unfortunately, foreign aid from the U.S. has declined every year since 2009, although it's projected to increase a little bit this year. The biggest single USAID project is Restoring Efficiency in Agricultural Production, or REAP, which spent $4.1 million last year. Keep in mind, this is money that doesn't necessarily go to the Georgian government, although some of it can. A lot of it is spent with U.S. Contractors and implementing partners. Dede Ana Park, near the Public Service Hall, will be the site of Christmas and New Year festivities starting on the 25th of January, ending on New Year's Day. There will be art exhibitions and musical performances throughout the week. The Wine Tourism Association is hosting the Bulbuli Market at Musa in Tbilisi on the 24th of December. The Christmas market will offer Georgian and European foods, as well as events like wine tasting, entertainment programs for kids, a Christmas lottery, special Christmas lottery, not a regular lottery, and Georgian dance and music. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tabilpod@gmail.com. Post the form on our website, www.tabilpod.com. And recently deceased only 1 month ago from Brooklyn, 2009, by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, we will finish with No Chimneys in the Projects.
understandable guy.